This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
Doing this practice around here with this through this whole series where we are reading the psalm together. And so it'll be on the screen. Would you join me as we read Psalms 23 as a whole congregation? You ready? Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, isn't that good? Come on. God's word is so, so good. Last week we talked about the Good Shepherd and how the Good Shepherd leads us down the right path. He's so good about that he doesn't lead us down the wrong path. He always wants to lead you down the right path. But today we're looking at verse 4 of this particular scripture, right? Verse 4, again, reminds us, it'll be on the screen, but it says this, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When I read through that one verse, there's a couple words that stick out to me, but one word that sticks out to me is, you notice it says there that I walk through, the word through. And if you notice, if you're going through a dark place, because that's what this is talking about, if you're going through a dark place right now, when you're going through a dark place, the biggest admonishment that I think David's remind us here is don't stop. It doesn't say, hey, hang out in the dark place. It says you go through the dark place. You keep going. It's when you're going through seasons of darkness or seasons of difficulty, it's not a time to pause. He says go through it, which implies movement. It implies motion. It also goes in there. It says, notice he also says, I walk through. It's not, sometimes we go through dark places, and I need to remind you that our dark places aren't always a race. They're not always something that when things get uneasy, when we are afraid, when we are confused, when we are uncomfortable, we get this mindset that seeps into our lives that says, I want to get through this as quickly as possible. Like, I want this over with. And can I tell you this morning, let me remind you this. Have you ever, if you run in the dark, you're going to get hurt. If you run in the dark, you're going to get hurt. Have you ever been in a dark, I mean, some of you did it this morning. Have you ever been in a dark room and you try to find the light switch? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? And you're like this. And you still can't find it. The reality is the darks, you know, the light switch didn't move on you. It's always been in the same spot. But how many know this thing? When we are in a dark place, you lose perception and perspective. When you go through dark times, you lose perception and you lose perspective. And I think this is the idea of walking through our dark seasons. It's really counterculture, counter to our mindset. But walking through dark seasons, there is a time to walk. There's a time to be patient and to be dependent upon God's timing. And when we go through dark seasons in our lives, we have to really train ourselves. Don't get so anxious to get out of it that you end up hurting yourself because you're so anxious to get out of it. It's part of the process. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, we have nothing to fear. The reason we have nothing to fear is because we have this really good shepherd who's there leading you through those dark valleys. Leading you through those darks, and he is with you. And when we understand that God is with us, we no longer need to worry. We no longer have to be anxious. I remember years ago, real little, my son was just very, very young, and it was like his first time, and we went into an automated car wash. You know what I'm talking about with the flappies and everything else? And I'll never forget, like, my wife and I are in the front seats, and he's in his car seat, and we look back, and this kid's eyes are literally this big around. And I kid you not, he's shaking all over. He is so afraid. And if you're a parent, you've been through that, we're like, this is child abuse what we're doing to our kid right now, right? He's just so afraid. His eyes are big and he's shaking. And I'll never forget little sister or big sister's in the back seat. And we're like, Rachel, give him a hug. Put your arm around him. Like, help him out. Love on him. And we're like in the front cheering him on. Hey, buddy, it's okay. It's okay. It's going to be good. And he's just shaking. He's freaking out. But there was something about bringing in this. After that, we always had to have one of us stand outside of the car wash with him. Even today, we still have to hold him. No. But how many know the truth is in those moments of our lives, all you want is comfort. All you want is peace. You want someone to just put their arm around you and embrace you. So this morning, our phrase, the reality is this, all of us are going to walk through those moments. And in those moments, that's what you really want. You need to know that the Lord is with you, especially in those uncertain, dark times. So this morning, our phrase, we've been giving you a phrase every week, kind of like that the phrase from Psalms 23 that you need to apply to your life. And the simple phrase is simply this, in a dark place. In a dark place, what do you do when you're in the midst of a dark place? Because here's the truth reality from the stage this morning. All of us have been there. All of us will be there again. And some of you are even there now. That's the reality that I have for you this morning. In fact, I would even say that in 2024, in September 1st, we're in a strange place in our world right now. Like, our world just seems very, very dark. And it's tough to determine what is truth, what is not truth. It's tough to determine what's opinion and what's fact. And it's a tough season to navigate in our world today. They say that a picture is worth 1,000 words. So I think this is how we live our lives a lot of times. This little meme I found for you, this one little picture right here. It's like when you find yourself walking through a valley of the shadow of death and you realize you can't trust Google Maps anymore. Right? It's the reality for all of us. We're in this place and we're like, I just need an answer. I want peace. I want to work this thing out. It's like, and then you realize, well, hey, the thing that I've always trusted in, the things I've always hoped in, they don't really work for me anymore. They're not really providing me the answer. And I'm just here to say I'm just so grateful that I'm not fully in charge of writing my story. I'm so glad you're not fully in charge of writing your own story. The truth is, yeah, you have a lot to play in your story. Your decisions will determine your destiny. We know all that. But you don't have the full ability to sit down and write your story. You don't have the ability to sit down and say, you know, I'm going to write my full story out. And this is how things are going to go. And this is how my life will play out. And this is how things will happen for me. And you just write it out. If you did that, I believe this. If you did that, I submit to you that your story would be really, really boring. You would have a boring story. Because if you had the ability to do that, to write your own story, your story would look like this. Every day sunny. Everyone hands you money every day. Manicured lawns and landscaping. Always on vacation. Everyone is healthy. Everyone loves me. Right? It would be the most boring story ever told if we wrote our own stories. But how many of you know the best stories, the best books, the best movies are the ones that have the greatest conflict? Like I'm a personal lover. I know some of you are too young, but I'm a personal lover of the Rocky movies, right? I mean, come on, think about Rocky, right? Life is stacked against him. Odds are against him. And he gets knocked down and he gets back up. One of my favorite movies of all time is this little movie called Rudy. If you ever seen Rudy, right? I mean, here's little old Rudy. In no way he's ever going to play for Notre Dame. He's never going to get on the field, and yet through the conflict and through the trials, he overcomes and he makes it on. One of my absolute favorites is this little movie called Remember the Titans, right? Like, come on, like, Remember the Titans. They come together, there's this conflict, and they make it work. Then there's even the greatest story ever told, and his name's Jesus. How the conflict is against him, and he comes into victory. Hear me, what makes the story great? It's because there's a great conflict. There's great adversity. There's great difficulty. And I'm so glad that God is a better author of my life than I could be. Because here's the reality. Truth really is more crazy and awesome than fiction. Truth really is more great, more awesome than fiction. And God is writing the story of your life right now. And I hate to tell you, but the reality is this. It's going to include conflict. It's going to include conflict. Because hear me, I love this. It'll be on the screen for you. How many know? Because the greater the conflict, the greater the joy of victory. The greater the conflict, the greater the joy of victory. And I would add this, and the greater the victory, the greater the glory he receives. The greater the honor he receives. So that's what our lives should be about. It's about bringing glory and bringing honor to the Lord and not to ourselves. Here, I really thought this. Do you know you wouldn't even know David's name if there wasn't a Goliath? You wouldn't even know David's name if there wasn't a Goliath. We wouldn't even have Psalms 23 if there wasn't a defiant son named Absalom. There's conflict. I want to remind you something this morning. The safest place for David that day when he faced Goliath, the safest place for him was not hiding in a ditch. The safest place for David was right in front of Goliath, because that's what God's plan was for him. That's what God had destined for him to be. And hear me this morning, the safest place for you to be is where God wants you to be. The safest place to be is where God wants you to be. And I'm glad that Jesus, I love this on the screen. This really fits us in Montana, but I'm so glad that Jesus, right, is not this like great cowboy that drives the cattle. In fact, I would say it opposite. He's the great shepherd that leads the sheep. He's the great shepherd that leads the sheep. He doesn't drive us, he doesn't hurt us, he leads us. And it's a completely different idea of who God is. Last week, I shared with you and reminded us the very familiar scripture out of Deuteronomy 31, which simply says, the Lord himself, look what it says, goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. How can he go before us and yet still be with us? Like, there's no way that I can go before you and still be with you. But how many know God can? He goes before you and he's still with you. And it's comforting to know that God is already in your future, church. He already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He's already set you up for success tomorrow. And he goes before you as a good shepherd to make sure that as you go into the darkness, he's going to be there with you. When you go into the darkness, he's there before you, before he even brings you into it. And he goes there to ensure your success. And then he comes and he goes with you through your dark season. And then in the midst of that, he promises you, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. In fact, the King James Version gives another word into this Psalms 23, verse 4. The King James Version says it this way, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Like when you think about it, I love that, the shadow of death, because here you can't have a shadow unless there's a source of light. You can't have a shadow unless it's a source of light. The very fact that there's a shadow proves that he is with you in the midst of the darkness. It proves that he is with you, and he most absolutely, definitely is with you. He is with you, and he will never leave you. The reality is, though, is when we read the Bible, sometimes we read it with this like subconscious mind, this misinterpretation that we add to it sometimes. We always want to sometimes add the good thoughts to it, even with the most famous passages. I'll give you an example. Psalms 37 says this, right? Simple passage. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Now, I got to be honest, I'm guilty too, but in our minds, we read that and we see those steps, the steps that he ordered. We always see those steps are steps to a better place. Like those steps are always up. Those steps would never be down. Like those steps in our minds are always steps of a promotion. They would never be steps of a demotion. But I want you to hear me this morning. The steps of a good person are ordered of the Lord. And sometimes they will actually lead you to places you don't want to go. They'll actually lead you to places that you don't want to go. I wrote down this way, often God leads us to places we do not want to go so that we can get to where God wants us to be. so we can get to where God wants us to be. And that's really the heart that defines Christian Life Center, our whole church, our whole mindset. It defines who we are. Our desire is to move people from where they are to where God wants them to be. That's our whole desire. We have our wonderful little Peep back. I keep calling her Peep. I don't know why. But we have Peep back here with us this morning, our little sheep. You know? But let me just give you an example. So we have Peep here. And if this table right here is where Peep is on our mountaintop, and Peep's on this mountaintop, but the drum cage over here, this little place over here, is a representation of a higher mountaintop that Peep wants to get to, that God wants to get Peep to. How is Peep going to get from this mountaintop to that mountaintop? How are they going to get there? Because here's the reality. How many know sheep don't have wings? They don't have wings. How are they going to get from this mountaintop to that mountaintop? How many know in order for Peep to get from there, to get to that mountaintop, to this mountaintop, they have to go through some valleys? They have to go through some dark places, some places that maybe they don't want to go. But in order to get to the place that God wants them to go, there's some things they might just have to walk through. You can't go from one mountaintop to another without going through a valley of darkness. And if we don't understand that spiritually in our lives, guess I fear that we're going to miss out on who where God wants us to be and where God wants to take you. Jesus, at the end of Matthew 3, we see that he is he's that story where Jesus is being baptized and he's in the Jordan River. He's being baptized. And we know that the Bible tells us that once he was baptized and he came out, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. His life was changed. His ministry was changed. And it was amazing. And after that, the very first thing we see in the very next chapter of Matthew chapter 4, the very first place that the Holy Spirit takes Jesus is to the desert. Takes him to a desert. Look what it says in verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I can probably guarantee you that's not where Jesus wanted to be. I mean, he had this incredible moment. After he was baptized, he goes right to the temple. He pulls out the scroll of Isaiah. He reads it. It's like his whole plan, his whole ministry. And he's saying, now this is being fulfilled. I'm the lamb that's going to go. And yet we would think, okay, let's go. Let's get into ministry. Let's make things happen. And it says the Holy Spirit leads him to a desert to be tempted by Satan. I don't think anyone wants to be signed up for that. I just think this God will take you places that you don't understand and that you don't want to be. And we all want to live on the mountaintop. We all want every day to be a good day and a perfect day. But how many of you know even mountaintops have this thing called a timberline? They have this thing called a timberline where when you get so high, the air is so thin and the oxygen is so lacking, the wind is so hard, the rain is so cold, that literally above that timberline, that vegetation will not grow above it. Nothing seems to survive above it. And we want to live there, but the reality is we can't grow there. We can't grow there. In fact, I wrote down this way, mountaintops are beautiful, but valleys are fruitful. Mountaintops are beautiful, but valleys are fruitful. Valleys are where the settlements and the nutrients and the minerals flow down from the mountaintop. I hear it all the time in Montana, like, we need lots of snow. And I said, rebuke you. And I said, we need lots of snow on the mountains so that the spring is wonderful, so that the summer is great. Hear me this morning. It's in the valleys of your life that you will actually grow. Yet none of us like valleys. Most of us hate valleys because valleys are dark. And how many of you know dark represents the unknown? It represents the unknown. And naturally, all of us in this room, we don't like the unknown. I mean, the unknown is scary. Like if you've had kids, if you still have kids or you've had kids, you know when something scary happens at night, they come to your room. I kid you, I'll never forget. My kids, my son, when I remember one particular storm, it's storming and windy outside, and the Braden comes to our room and he's leaning over me and he goes, did you hear that? And I'm like, not until you just woke me up. There's something about this fear that's in them. Like, did you bring this comfort because it's unknown. Like, my son would say, Dad, is that a hurricane? I'm like, son, we don't have hurricanes. Like, relax, you know? But there's something about the unknown that scares them. When you are afraid, it's because we don't know what's going on. In fact, we even have this little expression that we sometimes have used when someone is clueless. Maybe you've heard it before. We say they are completely in the dark. When they're clueless, they're completely in the dark because we don't understand what's going on. And often it's in the valleys of your life when we are confused, when we're faced with the unknown. Here's the reality. When we're faced with that, that's sometimes when we behave out of normal. Like normally when someone is kind or considerate, but then they're faced with pressure or they're faced with uncertainty of darkness, it can cause them to behave in a way that we wouldn't normally behave. Like instead of being kind, we can be sharp when we're faced with the unknown. Sometimes instead of being understanding, we can be judgmental when we're faced with the unknown. And here's what I've learned for myself personally, is that when I'm in that time, when I'm faced with those times, those dark times, I need to be very, very careful. Because I wrote it this way, in the dark valley are where we make most of our mistakes. It's in the dark valley we make most of our mistakes. I know really good Christians, longtime followers of God and Christ, that in their dark valley, they faced a dark valley in their lives, and they didn't behave like they normally would. They made decisions that were not good decisions and that destroyed their lives and really affected their relationship with Christ. And I'm just encouraging you this morning, we need to be careful in the valley. We need to be self-aware in the valley. We need to stay close to Jesus in the midst of the valley because we have this tendency of running from the dark because we don't recognize the value of it. And so what we like to do when we're in the dark seasons, we love to add these Christianeses to our language, like, God, get me out of here. God didn't destine me to be here. This isn't of God. Or my favorite one in the Christian world is, I'm being attacked, right? And absolutely some of that could be true, but maybe sometimes we need to recognize maybe God brought you into the valley. Maybe God's brought you in the darkness to teach you something. In fact, I wrote down this way, we run from dark places because we do not recognize how valuable they are to our development and our growth. They're so valuable. Sometimes those dark places you walk through will be valuable to your development and to your growth. And when I look back over my life, I see the times that I grew the most during those seasons. I look back over, maybe you look back over your life and you go, man, it was difficult, but once I made it through, I learned something. I was developed, something grew inside of me. I don't know if you remember this, but in my younger years, some of you remember this morning. I remember my years, there was a day before you had this really cool thing called a phone where you could take like thousands of pictures for free. There was a day when I was a kid where you actually had to buy a roll of 12 pictures. And you had to like put them in the camera and you had to be very sensitive, right, to which 12 pictures you're going to take because you only get 12. And then when you took the film out of those, you had to be very careful with the film and not expose it to certain things. And then you took that film to the developer and they took it and they put it, they went into a room called the dark room. And not only that, how many of you remember, you had to wait. Like, we'll see you in 3 days. Like, you had to wait. The result wasn't instant. It went into this dark room, and that's where they developed it. That's where it became to fruition. What am I trying to say to you this morning? A dark place is not always a bad place. It's not always a bad place. A dark place is actually a place for you to grow and to develop. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, and I love this, into the same image. And he says, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. Essentially, what he's saying is God is doing something in all of us. God is taking us somewhere. He's taking all of you from glory to glory. We are moving constantly, growing closer to him and being developed. Another way to say it I like is this, simply this, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come for your life. God wants to take you from best to best. But the reality is, it's the in-between moments of his glory where we are. It's those moments of darkness where we are wanting that glory to be revealed. And so let me make you understand something. Let me ask you this one question. When you are in the dark, when things are dark in your life or just in practical ways, you're in a dark place, what do you need most? You need light. And today, hear me, don't listen to the other people who are in the dark trying to tell you how to get out of the dark. Don't do it. The things and the people depositing information into you, into your life, are only offering you confusion upon confusion. And that's why Psalms 23 is so life-giving to all of us. It's full of the good shepherd who wants to and will guide your life. In fact, he reminds us about his word throughout the Psalms. Psalms 119, look what it says. It talks about light. It says this, your word is a lamp. Light. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This is a time for you and us as a church to trust God's word and allow him to speak to us. Not just when things are good, because that's easy, right? Allow God to speak to me. God, everything's good. You're good. I love God. But how about allowing God to speak to you when things are dark? When things aren't so good. So this morning, here's the big idea I want you to catch as we wind down to catch this morning. I want to challenge you to add a shift to your thinking. Because here's the reality. Because in the natural, when we are in a dark place or we're in a dark season in our life, whenever your marriage seems to be walking through a dark time, whenever your finances seem to be a dark time, your relationships or your health is in a dark place, maybe your faith isn't where it needs to be or where you want it to be. When we are in a dark place, we have this tendency to just wanting to find a way out. Just like you know how you're just like, just let this get over with. I just want this. Let me find every solution I can to make this go away, to get out of it. Let me see if I can point the finger at so many other directions for the things that I'm experiencing in my life. And if I can give you a great thought this morning, I wrote it down this way. It's on the screen. Our goal should not be to find our way out of darkness. Our goal should be to find God in the darkness. It's not to find our way out of the darkness. It's like when you're walking through it, your goal should be, how can I find God in the midst of the darkness? Because I want to remind you again, he will not leave you or forsake you. He's gone before you, and he is with you. And it's in the dark places that God is really wanting to reveal himself to you. And not only God reveal himself to you, but hear me, church, he's wanting to reveal yourself to yourself. He's wanting to expose some things in your life that can only make you better, that can bring you from glory to glory. And here's what I know about the dark places. In the dark places, it's not good to rely on yourself. When you're in that dark season and you're walking through, it's not a good idea to rely on yourself. Again, I wrote down this way, in the dark, we cannot lean on our senses. Instead, we must rely more on God's leading. Because how many of you know we get into our senses, when we can no longer see, when we can't understand, when we can no longer hear, I can't rely on my senses anymore. I simply have to trust the Lord. There are times when we can be the most sensitive when we decide to rely on God. It's the times when we're most sensitive to what does God want to say to me? How does God want to lead me? When we move ourselves out of the picture. When you are at a place of desperation, when we get to that place of need, and you're willing to remove yourself, I believe that's when the Spirit of God can truly speak to you. I believe that's when the Spirit of God can really, really bring hope into your life. I think that's what David's writing in Psalms 23. He is at the end of himself. He's at the end of the place. He's in a desperate place, in a desperate need, and he's taken a step back and go, wait. I've got this really good shepherd. This really good shepherd that if I just take a step back and I pause and I remove myself, he will actually lead me. He will actually guide me. He'll actually take care of me. When we remove ourselves, it allows us to step into comfort, to peace, to direction, to assurance, and to hope. It's a place where God can actually guide you and direct your steps. My favorite scripture in the Bible is simply put this way because it sums it all up. Proverbs 3, it's a very familiar, you all know it, where it just simply says, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Oh, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge him. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that incredible? That's an incredible assurance for you this morning. However, we read that. But most of the time, we can't enjoy peace about a situation until we first understand it. We don't have peace until we understand it, because how many know we like control? Or at least we like feeling like we're in control. We like the feeling that we are in charge of our lives. We like the feeling that we are in charge of our circumstances. So it's hard to have peace unless we have understanding. I'm that guy. Like, I was just at the dentist the other week, and Kim happened to be in the waiting room waiting for me, and literally she's texting me while I'm back with the dentist saying, "Stop talking." Because she wanted to leave. Because she knows me. Like, if they're going to do something to me, I want to know everything you're going to do. Like, so this. Like, one of the things they want to do is they want to put cadaver bone in my mouth. I said, "That's not my bone." And they're like, "Well, they don't need it." I'm like, "That's weird." But we want to understand. Stop talking. Listen, most of you don't know this about me, but Kim and I, we lost our first child through a miscarriage. And it was devastating to us. I mean, we're young kids and newly married. And I remember riding down the road after we got this news, and we didn't know what to say to each other. We didn't know how to respond. Do we cry? Do we be mad? Are we mad? What are we? And then the feelings of, like, did we do something wrong? Did we make a mistake? The feeling of a church person who said to us randomly when we're trying to celebrate the fact that she was pregnant, who said, "Oh, just remember, a lot of people lose their first kid." I wanted to punch her at that moment. And yet we sit there and we're in those moments of confusion and we're like, wow, will we ever have a kid again? And yet even today, I remember the doctor's name and I remember meeting with him, and he's the one in delivering Rachel. But I remember him saying to us, "You did nothing wrong." I remember him saying to us, "This could be a normal." I remember them saying to us, "This is what happened. This is what went wrong." We started laying things out. And I want to tell you that there was peace with understanding. There was peace with understanding. And how many times in life you're anxious because you're going through a dark time and you don't understand. You don't understand the why. You don't understand the what. But if you have the answer, all of a sudden, peace comes into your life. And I just believe that the Lord's brought me here today to tell someone in the room, it'll be on the screen, this is life-changing. But hear me, in the natural, peace always follows understanding. But how many know, with the supernatural, peace can come before understanding. Peace can, with the supernatural, with God, peace can come before you ever understand, simply because you know you have a good shepherd who leads you through the darkest places, who goes before you and walks with you. The natural, the supernatural, you can have peace before anything. The world says, "Have peace now, have peace with understanding." God says, "No, just have peace because you know me and you serve me." When we turn to God in our darkness, man, he can actually give you peace before you even go through a dark season. It's actually how we give God glory, right? It's actually how we show our trust in him when we are in those dark seasons and you're still able to worship God in the midst of your dark season. It's how you give God glory when you're still able to serve him as you're walking through a dark season. It actually gives him glory when you're able to still follow him in your understanding that he is with you, he's not left you, he's not forsake you. Because the world will see you in your darkness, and they will wonder, how are you able to still worship the Lord with all that you're walking through? How are you still able to serve God like that with all that you're walking through? And our mantra today is that we can say, well, I'm just living Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18 says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed in us." Your present suffering is not worth the glory that's being revealed in us. Hear me this morning. I used to think, when I read that scripture verse, I used to think that he was talking about heaven. I used to think that scripture, Paul was writing, and he says, when I get to heaven, right, the glory that you're going to have one day, you're just hanging. When you get to heaven, you know, you're going to look back at all your trials and on earth, and you go, "Wow, this heaven place is awesome. This place is great. And oh man, that this heaven didn't compare to what I went through down there." I just want to tell you, that's not what this verse is about at all. That's not what this verse. He says, "I reckon that the sufferings that we are going through will not be compared with the glory that God will put on us." to carry us through the most difficult times. The glory that he gives us for those difficult times right now, the purpose of that is so that you will astonish the people around you. That you have comfort and peace. Paul writes it again in Philippians, very familiar scripture. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, he says, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. It transcends it. Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He's actually saying you can experience peace even before you fully understand what it is that God is trying to do in your life. You can have peace even before you understand what God is trying to do. I wrote down this way, you can walk in such peace during dark times that people around you will accuse you of not understanding your circumstances. Don't you understand what's going on, man? Don't you understand the pain you're walking through? Don't you understand that? What are you doing having such peace? You should be a hot mess right now. You should be fleshing out everywhere. And you're just like walking around like, dude, I got this. My God goes before me and he walks with me. I can walk through anything because you know what? My God will never leave me and forsake me. He gives me peace. I don't have to be anxious about anything. And then the rest of the world's going, wait. Don't you understand your circumstance? Don't you understand you're walking through? And you're like, absolutely. Because I have a God that helps me transcend all understanding. I transcend it all. You ever seen those people? Like going through such a difficult, dark time, but either physically or maybe it's something emotionally, and you wonder, how are they not falling apart? And the answer is simple. It's just the peace of God. It's just the glory of God. And it's easy, right? It's easy to praise God. It's easy to give him glory during those high times of life. But how many of you know it's much greater to give him glory during the dark times? It's much greater. So Psalms 23 says this. Remember, we read it today, and verse 4 says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We talked about the staff, right? Here's the staff that the shepherd would carry, and the shepherd just uses it. You know, we talked about how the shepherd, it uses it to direct the sheep through keep them on the right path. Hey, maybe you're getting off there. Get back here. Go here. And the staff would do that. And that's the purpose of it. But there was another thing that's totally different that the shepherd would carry. He talked about your rod and your staff. And the rod was something similar to this. I mean, the rod was literally like a weapon. The rod was used to the main purpose of it was to fend off the predators, the lions and the bears and the wolves. But hear me this morning. Some theologians actually believe that if there was a certain sheep that was just arrogant. None of you are like that. There's just a certain sheep that just had a tough time staying in line. There was a certain sheep that strayed more than other sheep. Maybe there was one that would always find themselves in danger more than the other sheep. There was one sheep whose actions would actually endanger the other sheep because the shepherd would constantly have to leave to go find where the wandering sheep was. And every time the shepherd found himself having to find little old Peep wandering off, going a different direction. And so they would actually do something that would seem very unkind. Maybe it seemed cruel to some. But some theologians say that the shepherd would actually take this rod and they would break one of the legs of the sheep, of that auspice wandering sheep, arrogant sheep. And they would break one of the legs. But here's the thing. The shepherd didn't leave him there saying good luck. No, after he would break the legs, they say that he would bandage that sheep's leg. And he would care for him, much like you see in this picture right here. And he would care for that sheep. And he would carry it. In fact, if you look at some of the famous pictures of this right here, if you look closely, you would actually see the leg of a sheep bandaged. They would bandage it, and he would carry that sheep. He would carry that lamb, and you got to think about it, right? This is not easy. That doesn't look easy. He would carry that sheep. It was difficult. A lamb could weigh 50, 60, 70 pounds. And on top of having to carry for all the other sheep, Could you imagine trying to herd a bunch of sheep with a 50-pound bag on your shoulder? This is what the shepherd would do. And he would carry that sheep on his shoulder for weeks and weeks and weeks, caring for him until the leg would mend itself again. But here's the reality. During that time of carrying the sheep, he would comfort the sheep. There was a relationship during those times of carrying the sheep that would begin to be tightly bonded between the sheep and the shepherd. And that weeks later, when he would take the bandage off the leg, literally what would happen is he would almost like take the sheep and he would put it down once it's healed. And literally they say, from that moment on, the sheep would never leave the shepherd's side. That one sheep that he carried around for weeks would stay there by the shepherd and never leave. Simply because a relationship through difficulty was formed. A relationship through difficulty, a love would form. He would stay close to the shepherd, never leaving him, simply because there was a love relationship that had been formed over those weeks. The sheep understood that this wasn't being mean or this wasn't trying to be cruel. This was literally trying to save my life. I submit to you that maybe sometimes God rocks you through a dark season not to hurt you, not to be cruel, but to save your life, to encourage you, to help you grow. He wasn't being mean. He was demonstrating his love for the sheep. Can I tell you, you will go through dark places and you may not understand what God is doing. But in spite of all that, how many know God is still good? He's still good and he has good intentions for your life. And if you allow him this morning, you will develop a relationship with God. You will develop a relationship in your dark seasons and through your difficulties that will actually strengthen your relationship with him. And maybe, just maybe, if you hang in there and you walk with God and you allow him to reform your life, you allow him to really deposit and build that relationship, maybe you're like that sheep that once you walk through that dark season, you're never going to leave the side of the master. You're going to stay close to him. You're going to allow him to lead you and guide you, and you'll understand, boy, I serve such a good shepherd. I serve such a good God who cares for me and loves me and has really, really good things for me. And I encourage you this morning, we're going to worship the Lord here in just a moment. I just want to say this last thing to you, as I've been saying every week. Psalms 23 reminds me of this. God has such good plans for your life. He has such good plans for your life. If you allow him to lead you and guide you, if you'll submit yourself to him, well, you're going to see the plans he has for you, and they are incredible. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's worship the Lord.
Dwelling in the house of God, surely your goodness and
I just want to pray. If you're here this morning, you've been walking in a dark season, and you just need prayer, I encourage you to pray along with me as I just pray for you. This morning, Lord, I lift up every person in here that just maybe is walking through a season, of needing to hear from you and needed to know, God, that you are with them, that you have not left them, that you have not forsaken them, that you've gone before them and you're with them. And I pray, God, that as we are in those times, maybe someone's dealing with some things emotionally, maybe some things in their body and health-wise. Maybe there's some relational things that are going on. Maybe it's even a work thing that's happening. Either way, God, I just pray that whatever season they walk through, that we can know, as the Bible says, that even in the midst of the darkness, there's shadow. And the shadow reminds us that there's light. That, Lord, you are there. Your light is with us. You are guiding us, leading us. Help us to submit to you today. Help us to trust in you, God. Not to lean on our own understandings, God, but simply just acknowledge the fact that you are with us. And, Lord, you will direct us. And you will lead our paths. So I pray that. Pray for the person in here who maybe in the near future is going to walk through a dark season. May they remember this time. May they remember the Good Shepherd who desires that relationship. Help us all as a church to grow and develop into the men and the women that you're calling us to be. And that's our prayer this morning. Move us in that direction. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, last thing I want to pray this morning, if you're here and you've heard me talk this morning and you have no relationship, or maybe you feel like, man, I'm so far away from that Good Shepherd. I don't have that relationship that you talked about where I'm staying close. And you need to say, hey, God, I want to submit my life completely and totally to you. And you're in this room today, and that's you. Like, God, I just need to give my life to the Lord. I want to follow this Good Shepherd. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one's looking around, just between you and me and God. We're not going to embarrass you in any way. But if you're here this morning, you're ready to make that commitment. Say, I want to follow God my whole life, my whole heart. Would you just put your hand up real quick? I just want to know who I'm praying for. You can put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Real quick before I pray. Lord, right now, I just thank you that there are those in the room today who said, I want to follow God with my whole heart, with my whole life. I want to walk close to him, and I want him to walk close with me. And it begins by submitting my life to him. Lord, it's simple. If you're here today and that you're in that spot, all you have to do right where you're sitting is just say, God, come into my life. I want to follow you. Lord, forgive me of all the things that I've done, and help me, Lord, now to submit to you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your sacrifice. And I want to follow this Good Shepherd. I want a relationship with you. It's just that simple. So, Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing in our church. Thank you for what's happening and how you're bringing people in that have a hunger for you. And I pray, God, that it would be our mantra that as a church, we want to be led by you. We want to follow the Good Shepherd. Want to be led by him, and sometimes that means going through valleys, and sometimes it means living on the mountain. But God, no matter where you place us, we're still going to trust in you. We're still going to worship you. We're still going to serve you. We're still going to follow you. We're still going to submit to you, because you are our Good Shepherd and you are our God, and we're thankful for it. So be with us as we go out this week, Lord Jesus, proclaiming your name. May we, Lord, have by your name be on our lips and allow you to move us from glory to glory, Lord, from the best to the next best, because you're just that good. So we love you, we honor you. In Jesus' precious name, everyone said, amen. Come on, can we give it up to the Lord this morning? It's good. Thank you. Amen. Hey, real quick before you check out, we have a prayer corner we have over here. We have some great people who'd love to pray with you. If you made a decision to follow God, or, man, or you just need prayer, some things going on in your life, we have a team that would love to just pray with you. Go meet them over this morning. Hey, if you are new and have been new in the last few weeks, my wife and I, Kim, would love to meet you. We'll be right down here on the front piano area. If you're new, we'd love to say hello and greet you. Other than that, have a great week. Enjoy your day off, and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.